Good morning. Good to see everybody here this morning. Glad to join our voices together in song. If you would go ahead and turn in your Bibles to the book of Galatians, chapter 4. We're actually going to continue our study of looking at themes from the book of Ephesians, but I want to make a point from Galatians at the beginning. We saw last time in our first lesson of looking at themes from Ephesians, we talked about the redemption that we have in Jesus Christ. Chapter 1 and verse 7 of Ephesians says we have redemption through His blood. That is the idea that Jesus paid the necessary price to release us from slavery to sin. That's the kind of idea that goes along with redemption. So when we think about that amazing gift that God has given us in Jesus Christ, we want to ask the question, why did He do that? Why did God redeem us? Why did He pay that amazing price to buy us from sin? What was so important that God was willing to offer Jesus? Look in Galatians 4, beginning in verse 3. So also we, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that He might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. God redeemed us in order that that He could adopt us as sons, as children. He's using the term son not to make some distinguishing, you know, only males or something like that, but He's using language that they would understand. Because as we're going to talk about in a minute, the main idea He wants to talk about to us is what He has in store for us as an inheritance, and that would come to the Son. And so, in that one sense, all of us, Jew and Gentile, male and female, are sons in Christ Jesus. So God redeemed us in order that He could adopt us as His children, as His sons. And one of the most important things that we need to understand about that, and I've mentioned it before, but I can't emphasize it enough, is that forgiveness, what we receive through the redemption, is a means to a greater end. So often we emphasize forgiveness as if that was the primary reason why Jesus came. And I don't believe the Bible teaches that. He fulfilled that purpose. He made it possible for us to be forgiven of our sins. But He did that so that God could adopt us as His children. There's a greater purpose at work in all of this. And something else that tells me is that God's forgiveness is contingent on my desire to want to fulfill this greater purpose. I can't just say, yeah, I want to be forgiven of my sins. I don't want to go to hell. But, you know, all the rest of that, everything else that God wants from me, I don't want that. Well, God's forgiveness is contingent on us wanting to fulfill this greater purpose. Do we want to become God's children? Do we want to develop that relationship with Him? He didn't send His Son just to let us off the hook. And we need to understand that. And so I want us to consider what it means this morning for us to be the adopted children of God. Now let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1 and look at some things He says in connection with that. Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll begin reading in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we would be holy and blameless before Him, In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. He used this phrase, he chose us in him. God chose us to be his adopted children. He used another term, predestined, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But what is all of this mean? What does it mean that God chose us? That God predestined people to become his adopted children? Sometimes, you know, if you read a lot about predestination in religious writings, and unfortunately, a lot of it is just not based on the scriptures. So we want to look very carefully at the text here and find out what it means to be chosen by God, what it means to be his predestined children. But first of all, notice he said in verse 4, before the foundation of the world. He predestined us before the foundation of the world. He chose us before he created anything. I think what that implies is God knew that when he created us, he was going to give us free will. We could make the decision to follow him or not to follow him. And God also knew before he created anything that that meant we were going to choose sin. At some point, we were going to choose sin. And so before God created anything, he developed a plan to save us. You know, we were God's children in the sense that he created us. And the Bible speaks of us as his children in that way. I think in Acts 17, Paul's argument in talking to the Athenian philosophers, he talks about how God created the world, and then he calls himself and the philosophers, we being his children. And so in one sense, we're all his children because he created us. But what God developed a plan about was that when we gave up our relationship with him through sin, he had a plan before he ever created anything to adopt us again. And that's amazing. God thought ahead about that. It's not just amazing that he knew all of this was going to happen. It's amazing how much thought he put into having a relationship with us. And we're going to see many more things like that as we look through this text. So he predestined us before the creation, before the foundation of the world. He predestined. The question we want to ask is, did God's plan to adopt his children involve predetermining every individual's eternal destiny? Is that what predestination means? Because some people will teach that. But what we're going to see here when you look at the text, that's not what he means. God did not determine before the foundation of the world that Keith was going to heaven and Heath was going to hell. He did not determine that June was going to heaven and Holly was going to hell. God did not determine that. But that's the way many teachers in the religious world present the idea of predestination. But look again at what the Bible says about it. In verse 3, these spiritual blessings that come to God's children, where are they? In Christ. In verse 4, when it says, he chose us, how did he choose us? He chose us in him. In Christ. In verse 5, he predestined us to adoptions as sons through Jesus Christ to himself. In verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. What does that tell us? What God's plan involved was Jesus. God decided before the foundation of the world, the way he was going to adopt children, the way he was going to bring people back to himself, was going to be in Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ. And so he chose us in him. We're predestined through him. He bestows these things on us in the beloved. What you could say about all that is that God chose those who would choose him. God didn't, before the foundation of the world, say, I choose Jacob, but not Rayanne. He didn't say, I choose Eric, but not Barbara. What God did is he developed a plan. He said, I choose those who choose Jesus. That's what the plan is. That's what predestination is. God predetermined before the foundation of the world that if we would choose to become God's children through Jesus Christ, then we are God's chosen. We are God's elect. Look again at verses 9 through 13 of Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, beginning in verse 9. He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him. Same kind of language we saw before. Verse 10. With a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth, in Him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will. Notice in verse 12, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of His glory. Verse 13, in Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of His glory. So what God predetermined before He created anything, He says, I choose Jesus, and I choose those who will come to me through Jesus. But what Paul informs us in verses 11 and 12, there's our part of it. In Him, we have obtained. In Him, verse 12, we who hope, they chose to hope in Christ. They chose Christ and thereby became God's chosen. I know I'm repeating that a lot, but I'm just trying to get it clear. And then in verse 13, you having also believed, we hope, we believe in Christ, we choose Christ, and it's there that God chooses us. I hope that makes sense to us. What predestination means is before the creation, God developed this plan and He predestined that everyone who chooses Christ will become His children. That's what predestination means. That's what it's all about. That's what election is all about in the Scriptures. Well, I want to ask you now, okay, He determined this plan for us to become adopted, His adopted children through Jesus Christ. Well, what are the benefits of adoption? And I want us to ask both sides of that. What are the benefits for God? And what are the benefits for us of being adopted through Jesus Christ? I want you to flip over to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Listen carefully to what John tells us here. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. John is kind of working back. We know that God has sent Jesus. We know He has enabled us through Jesus to become His children. And so John asks us to think about, what does that mean? Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. When you see what God has done, the extent that He has gone to enable us to become His children, John says, this is because God loves. This is because God wanted a relationship with us. Behold what manner of love God has bestowed on us, that He has for us, that He's enabled us to do this. God wanted offspring to enjoy. He wanted offspring to have a relationship with. But I want you to back up now to Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. Because God just didn't want it to happen anyway. He didn't want just any kind of children. Romans 8 and verse 29 tells us what kind of children He wanted. I'm sorry, we're going to do verses 28 and 29. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Well, what is his purpose? Verse 29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. Yes, God wants children. He wants a relationship with us. He wants to love us. But he wants us to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's the kind of children that he wanted. That's why when we sin, we can't have a relationship with him anymore. That's why this whole plan had to happen for him to send Jesus so that he could be able to predestine us, that he could be able to, as he says in the following verse, verse 30, to call us, to justify us, to glorify us. And so we have to become conformed to the image of Jesus. And that begins with the forgiveness of sins, but there's so much more to it in becoming God's child. So God's purpose is for us to become conformed to the image of his children so that he would be the first of many brethren. Flip over to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 tells us that this, again, was the purpose in sending Christ. Hebrews 2, beginning in verse 9. But we do see him who was made, he's talking about Jesus, for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory. That's God's purpose, bringing many sons to glory. It was fitting for him to do this, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. Verse 11, for both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children whom God has given me. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. So put all of those pieces together. Jesus came, he took on flesh, he became like us. That's what it means when it says we are all from one. He became flesh just like us. Why? He died so that we could be forgiven of our sins, so that we could be released from this slavery to death, so that he could bring many sons to glory. That's what the purpose is. God wanted a relationship with us. But he wanted a relationship with those who would become conformed to the image of his Son, that would follow in the footsteps of Jesus. There's another benefit, though, for God. We already saw in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 that we have every spiritual blessing is given to us in Christ. One thing that's clear as you read through the Bible is God has a desire to bless. And I would even go so far as to say an intense desire to bless his creatures. If you look in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, remember verses 26 and 27 is we're going to create humans now. And we're going to create humans in our image. And that's what you see happening in verses 26 and 27. And the very first thing in Genesis 1 and verse 28, after God created man, it says, and he blessed them. God's very first action towards human beings was to bless them. God wants to bless us. God wants to give us the good things that he knows are good for us. And, you know, as you follow it through, in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, when he makes the promises to Abraham, you know, what is the focus in those promises to Abraham? In Genesis 12 and verse 3, that through him, through his descendant, God could bless all the families of the earth. The very first thing God did for us was to bless us. In that promise to Abraham, you know, the ultimate thing was going to be God was going to be able to bless all the families of the earth. Think about passages like James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 17. How is God described here? James 1 and verse 17. every good thing given, and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. All the good things that we have, all the things that we enjoy, they come from God, and they come from His desire to bless us. Look how Jesus worded it in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 7. You know, it's in the context of talking about the things that we worry about and the things that we stress about in this life. And this is what Jesus has to say if we have faith in God. Matthew 7 and verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. What does he say here? No, we try to give good things to our children. That's what we want to do, and we're created in God's image, aren't we? So it makes sense that that's what we want to do, if that's what He wants to do. But He says, if that's what we want to do, and we've even been corrupted by sin, how much more does God want to give good gifts to us? How much more does God want to bless us? As a side note, I want you to think about, He says, you know, if your son asks for a fish, you know, you're not going to give him a snake, are you? Well, let me ask you something. If your son asks you for a snake, not realizing what he's asking for, are you going to give it to him, even if he asks for it? That's something we need to understand about God. This isn't saying God is going to give us everything we ever ask for. It's saying God is going to give us the things that we need. God is going to bless us within what in His wisdom He knows we need. We may ask for something thinking it's what we need, and He says, I'm not going to give that to you because that's not what you need. And I want to bless you. I want to give you what you need. And so God loves us. God is a giver of good gifts. God has an intense desire to bless us. And we see the same thing in what we desire to do for our children. And so God gets a relationship out of redemption, out of adopting us as sons. He gets a relationship with people that are following after the footsteps of Jesus Christ. He gets the opportunity to do what He wants to do, to bless us, to give us the things that we need. Well, what about the benefits for us? What are the benefits for us in being adopted as His children? Well, again, we go back to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Every spiritual blessing is a benefit. You know, we could start to name them off. We have forgiveness in Christ. We have strength in Christ. We have comfort in Christ. We have hope in Christ. So every one of those is a spiritual blessing. But I want you to look in Ephesians 1 and verse 11. Ephesians 1 and verse 11. This is the blessing that is most emphasized throughout the New Testament. Ephesians 1 and verse 11. Beginning with the last phrase of verse 10. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance. We have obtained an inheritance. Again, that's why He uses all this language about sons and becoming sons through Jesus. So that we're the heirs, we're the ones that inherit what the Father has for us. Romans 8 and verse 15, it's a passage that talks a lot about some of the same themes that we see in the book of Ephesians. But in Romans 8 and verse 15, you see how much that this inheritance is emphasized in our being adopted as God's children. Romans 8 and verse 15, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. That's a term of endearment, a term of a strong relationship with God that we have through Jesus. Verse 16, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him so that we may also be glorified with Him. If we're God's children, what does that mean? Paul says that means we're heirs. That means we have an inheritance waiting for us. Well, what is that inheritance? You could really read the rest of Romans chapter 8, and it talks about what it says in great detail, but I want you to look at a simple version in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. First Peter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. God's intention for us was not to endure all the suffering that we endure in this world because of sin. Death, decay, hatred, anger, broken relationships, all the things that we suffer because of sin. That's not God's intention for us. And so God developed this plan before the foundation of the world that He could, after we've sinned, adopt us back as His children through Jesus Christ, so that we could obtain this inheritance, so that we could be rid of this corruption, so that we could have this undefiled, this eternal inheritance in heaven with Him. That's a beautiful picture. And that shows us God's intense love for us, intense desire to bless us. Why would we ever turn away from one who has gone to such an extent for us? Look in Galatians 3 and verse 26. As you're turning there, I want to tell you a little bit about what we're going to talk about tonight. We're still going to have our singing tonight, but I'm going to be the one speaking. And tonight we're going to focus on another theme from Ephesians. Being sealed with the Holy Spirit. And Paul says that our seal from the Holy Spirit is our guarantee that we're going to obtain this inheritance. So read the rest of Ephesians this afternoon. And it would do you good to read Romans chapter 8 this afternoon, because we'll be talking a lot from that chapter. I want you to think about what it means to be sealed with the Holy Spirit and how that guarantees us our inheritance through Jesus Christ. But I just want to end this morning by looking at Galatians 3, verses 26 through 29. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise. You can be a child of God today. You can receive the redemption that's in Jesus Christ. You can begin your walk as an adopted child of God. He says all of this is in Christ, just like He said to the Ephesians. How do you get in Christ? For all of you who were baptized into Christ. And so I ask you this morning, if you're not a child of God, if you don't have the hope of this inheritance, if you don't have a relationship with the God that intensely desires to bless you, repent of your sins and be baptized into Jesus Christ so that you can become His adopted child. If you haven't done that, we invite you to come as we sing the song that's been selected.
Marvelous grace of our loving God.